a deep concern in God's heart for the youth of this generation. He is set to recruit firebrand from among them, ignitable lives with whom he can confront and destroy evil and establish righteousness. This is the burden for the year 2006 Christian Students Congress. The Congress, which held at Evangel Camp, kilometer 48, Enugu Abakaliki Road, Okoto, Ebonyi State, Nigeria, between 6 and 10 September 2006, was on the theme Firebrand. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Living Seed Media, Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone number 044-470-824, 0802-6577-392. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings us the word of life.
What you did that separated them from every careless life, that made them so effective, do it to us in the name of Jesus Christ. We are asking, Father, that from this morning, and as we begin to watch the way you are going to lead us, we realize that you are very eager to do those kind of things. Do it in our very soul. We don't know how it normally happens, for nobody knows how bones do grow in the womb of a pregnant woman. We ask, Lord, that you will do your strange work in the hearts of your children today. In the name of Jesus Christ, do something that will leave an indelible mark upon this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Please be seated. The Lord is going to help us as we go on today. This morning, we are spending much of this day in the place of prayer, because we realize that something happened to all those that turned their generation around, and it's clear that it doesn't look natural. It must be something beyond them that happened to them that made them effective. And so we are asking that as we wait on God this day in the place of prayer, and as we go on watching how God leads us until the evening when we are going to be taking time of prayer and ministration and impartation in our spirits, we are asking that what he did to men of old, he will do it to our various lives in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the things that has caught my heart this morning, which is leading to the fire, the setting ablaze, is that all the men were men of like passion. So what I want to do today is to check if it is possible for me to trace what happened, at what point did God kindle these men who are like ourselves, at what point did something change in their lives, men of like passion. And rather than go back to read Judges this morning, which we will have naturally want to go on to say, and he set them on fire, we will come to that, but we want to look at men of like passion who came under the fire that turned their lives around. And because I want to check several men, I will just be looking at them, not in details, but we're just checking something that happened to them in a build up for the prayer ministration that we're asking God to bring to us when we're about to break our fast this evening by the grace of God. For our text, I would like to ask you to read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. Just to start from there. Hebrews 11. Men of like passion. Hebrews 11. I would like us to take it from verse 32. Verse 32. And we'll read about 8 verses until we get as far as the end of the chapter. 11 and verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued what? Kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. May the Lord do what he did to them. May he do it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And from this catalog, we have a series of men that we can consider men of like passion, men that were ordinary like ourselves, and something happened in their lives. And when I'm about to conclude this morning, I'm trusting that God will be gracious to set ablaze something that will become unquenchable within your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's begin by saying very simple statement, which I think you should not forget. They were men, not angels. Would you like to repeat that to somebody? Tell somebody, said, they were men, not angels. Tell them again. They were men, not angels. They were men. And what I want to do today is to first identify that they were ordinary men. But at one point in their lives, something extraordinary happened to them. And it gives me courage that since they were men of like passion, saddled with the same kind of challenges that I am saddled with, and they were able to bring a change in their own generation. You know the question I'm asking myself? Why not I? So let's add one second question to our statement this morning. They were men, not angels. Why not you? Can you tell somebody like that quickly? Go ahead and ask again. Why on earth do you think it can't be you? Now, so let's commence very quickly, a quick, and I said it cannot be elaborate study, because I just want us to identify the fact that they were men of like passion. They were not angels. Men, not angels. Men, not what? Angels. What more shall I say? Time will fail me to tell of Gideon. So can we quickly find out who is Gideon? Let's find out who Gideon was. Do you remember a little about Gideon? Let's quickly find out. I just want us to be checking things quickly and then we move away. No elaborate study, but by the time we end, God will do something. God will set you ablaze. Because do you know why? When it was the turn of Gideon to burn, he bent for God. When it was the time of Daniel to shine, what did he do? He was shining. You know what was touching me is that all of these people, they obtained good testimony. But they did not obtain the promise because God decided that they will not be perfected, they will not be glorified apart from us. You are not understanding. Do you understand? Do you understand? Daniel, as wonderful as he performed for God in his own generation, God is saying his day of glory and coronation is postponed. Until when? Until you have come. It's like there is a certain number that God wanted to convocate together. You understand? These people have finished their projects. They have passed their exams. The Senate has sat on their results. But because there is a department that ought to graduate that same year, who are yet to finish their results, what did they tell all these other ones that have finished their project and all of that to do? To wait. Tell somebody by your side, some giants, some heroes are waiting for you to shine. Don't keep them waiting any longer. And I want you to hear me. When they were burning for God, listen, they were of your age. They are not hearing me. You know, when we are reading about Gideon today, we are reading about Daniel. Some of you think that we are reading about Ancient of Days. Some of you think we are reading about people who in their 60s and in their 70s, when no temptation or fornication was troubling them again, that's when they walked. Let me ask you, when did they walk? Eh? At your age. In fact, I want to inform you, if they did not do what they did at their age, we will not say anything about them because they have passed the flower of their age. And I need to inform you this morning, if you don't rise to do something this flower of your age, you will soon end as a non-entity. You are not hearing me properly. Are you hearing me? Eh? There is a time when you are to burn. If you mess up this time, you will have ended as a non-entity. We will not have a need of people like you again. They will only say, this one had opportunity to burn, but was lethargic. Push him aside. Let me ask you. Can I ask you a question quickly? In the days of Gideon, do you think Gideon was the only young man in town? Eh? Do you think Gideon was the only man in his own time? Suggest to me, are there some other young people? Eh? Why didn't we hear about them? I'm not hearing you again. Eh? Do you remember that he gathered 32,000? Eh? Which he thought will be useful in what God wants to do. What happened to 31,700 of them? Eh? I must be hearing you this morning. What happened to them? Can I ask you, what do you think disqualified them? Is it that God doesn't want to use them? Eh? Who can remember what was the singular thing that disqualified 22,000 of them at once? Eh? Fear! Say, if anybody is afraid. So the men I'm talking about here, whom we are hearing about today, they were men that conquered fear. Tell somebody by your side, that fear you entertain in your heart will make you a non-entity if you are not careful. Tell that, tell somebody. How many times does a coward die? Eh? They say a coward dies many, many times before his death. Were made useless because they feared. Some feared what their lecturer will do. Some did not just fear lecturer, they feared their roommate. Listen, you like this, let me ask you, your roommate of whom you are afraid, how older is he above you? You are not answering me. That boy that is in the same course with you, when you were in SS3, where was he? Tell me. I'm not hearing you this morning. He was also SS3. Why should your mate, the one that was born probably 6 months junior to you, why does he exercise so much intimidation on your spirit, and you are doing as if I talk before this girl now, he will chop my head? Remind the person that sits by your side, that fear you entertain is going to make you a non-entity if you are not careful.
remained 10,000. God said, these 10,000, they are too many. I cannot use them. Let's test them. Do you know that when they brought them down to drink common water, what were they to drink? Common, ordinary water. Come and see how ordinary water finished 9,700 energetic young men. Let me ask you, do you know their names today? Eh? Why didn't we know their names? Tell me, why didn't we not know their names? Water made them useless. Ordinary water. I want to ask you this morning, what is it that will make you a nameless non-entity in eternity? What is it? It was at your age they struck their generation. And that's why God is very, very particular that this Congress be called, because this is your own age. Can I inform you? Some of you, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Some of you may be thinking, it is when you grow to Brother Gile's age that you will start. You've missed it. If it is last year that I'm making a decision, do you think you will have ever met me? Eh? Do you know that what I am doing today, it was when I was at your age that I took my own decision? If you miss your choice at this age, you have missed your choice for life. You are hearing me? Eh? Are you hoping to shake your generation tomorrow? Eh? When are you going to make that choice? Today. If it is possible to wait until some time, then you will catch fire, I will have said, don't worry. If you don't catch it now, when you are married and you have got all your children, you will catch fire. Sorry. This segment of life where you are now is the critical segment. You miss it here, you missed it for life. I am not saying you will die. You may not die. You may be one of those who clap hands for those who are on stage. I'm not saying you will die, but you will only be living with unfulfilled desire. You say, I wish I am that. You can never be that, because at the age of choice, you chose to be useless. I want you to tell the person by your side, because you must help me re-echo what I'm saying now. that fear that you're entertaining may make you a useless, nameless, non-entity. Be careful. That water that is making you to bow may disqualify you finally. Take note of what you are drinking. Gideon, let's quickly see something about Gideon because we are going now. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, I said they were men, not angels. In verse, this is Judges chapter 6. Are you there? In verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the strongest in Manasseh." Is that what he said? What did he say? "Is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the most senior in my father's compound." What did he say? "And I am the least in my father's house." Now, I want you to see Gideon. Let me ask you, how many of you in this meeting happen to be the last born in your father's family? Let me see your hand up. All the last borns, please stand up. All the last borns. I want to see all the last borns. All the last borns. Stand up, stand up. Wave your hand. Did you see Gideon's here? Did you see Gideon's here? Did you see Gideon's here? Are you going to arise? Do you know that Gideon is wondering why you are saying, "Where me, I cannot do anything because I am the last born"? "I can't do anything because in my father's house I'm the last born. Nobody will listen to me. When we go for family meeting, once my senior brother speaks, I can say nothing." This last born is ready to do something. Yes. Gideon, he was the last born in his father's compound. His family was the weakest in the whole tribe of Israel.
no money. Imagine Gideon. What do you think he was doing? He was beating guinea corn. Is that a good business? And when he gathered a little guinea corn like this, he has to quickly go and hide it inside the cave so that the Midianites will not come and cause confusion. When he said, I am the least in my father's house, does that imply that he has senior brothers? Let me inform you this morning. God saw your senior brothers. God saw your senior sisters before he came and talked to you. God knew that your senior brother, your senior sister, your senior uncle is there. I'm sorry to inform you that some of them have missed their time. Some of them, when you go home now, say, ah, we went for student congress. We will do something. We will do something. Say, ah, is it Brother Gilead that preached? That's how you normally say. When we were on campus in the 80s, he came one time. When he spoke like this, fire, fire, fire. I almost left my job. I almost do something. I almost, if you hear anybody say, I almost, those are people that have missed their opportunities. Oh, he almost escaped. Did he escape? I almost made 2-1. Did he make 2-1? I almost got that thing. Did he get it? May God never describe your testimony with the word almost in the name of Jesus. There's only one language I want to hear from you. Utmost. Not almost, but what? Utmost. So by positioning, by economic power, by age, Gideon was nothing. But there was something that happened in his life that set him ablaze, that made him a firebrand. You are going to pray this morning. What you did to Gideon, you will do it to my life in the name of Jesus. Look at what happened to Gideon. No time to talk long story, but I just want to show you a few things. They were ordinary men like you. I'm expecting that this meeting is going to be a breaking point. Fire is going to break forth everywhere you go in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you see the Bible say? When the angel appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. When they say mighty man of valor, I'm asking a question. Is it because he was the tallest in the family? When they say he was a mighty man of valor, is it because he had mighty muscles? When they say he was a mighty man of valor, is it because he had plenty money? Mm-mm. God saw a future. God saw that this young man, even though he's the least, he has an ignitable heart. What did I say he had? An ignitable heart. God saw that this is one I can identify with.
You see, the key is not about size. It's whether God can go with you. Say, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And I love Gideon. You don't know why I love Gideon. He's a practical man. You know what he said to an angel? He said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this happened to us? Do you know something is burning inside Gideon? Can I ask you, can I tell you what was born inside of him? There is a reaction inside him against status quo. Others have accepted that that is the will of God. Others say, well, that's how God wanted it. In fact, God already knows that the Midianite will rule us this time. There's nothing we can do. It's their time. Let's just quickly gather our own little guinea corn and hide it so that make you get something to eat and survive. What a man could do. Each time he sees Midianites collecting what they did not plant, do you know what Gideon is saying? Why? Each time he saw his senior elders bowing to Midianites in order to collect 10 naira, Gideon is asking, why? Where are the miracles that the word of God told us about? Where are the testimonies that our fathers wrote about? Where is the God that walked with them? He had questions. I know that sometimes you go for a meeting and you raise your hands, excuse me, I have a question. Why is it that I prayed and nothing happened? You say, well, it's not everything that God answers. And don't ask too many questions. Somebody was asking many questions the other time, so he became mad. So be careful. Fire extinguishers. When they see someone who is becoming radical, they want to see a God who is practical. They're saying, no. Don't go to an extreme. It's not like that. That dispensation of miracle has passed. The time we are now is just to do Christianity, and God is good. No! Gideon is saying, excuse me, why is the Bible different from our experience? Why? Why is it that those of us who claim to be the people of God, why is it that Midianites, uncircumcised people, are the ones oppressing our lives? Why? All your senior brothers say, you too, they ask too many questions. Huh? It's not everything you see that your mouth should ask. Keep quiet. As it was in the beginning, so it is now, and forevermore shall be. He said, why? Is there anybody in this meeting who is feeling unsatisfied with empty ceremony? Is there anybody like that? Something is telling you that Jesus' love must be better than this. Why? When that question is rising continually in your spirit, maybe you are our Gideon. Don't let anybody stop your question. Even if an angel came now and said, glory, just believe that everything is alright. Just believe. Just believe. Don't ask any question.
If you were a Gideon, even if it's an angel, you say, why?
The Bible says, because there's a quest in his heart for the reality of God, was not going to accept a cheap discussion. If the Lord be with us, why then has all this happened? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about? Say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. How can you say God is with us?
The only evidence by which I will know God is with us is when I see the Midianites uprooted. I'm not interested in this positive confession that has no reality.
You know what makes many of you to be complacent with emptiness in your campus is all this foolish empty talk. Oh yes, God is here.
If you were a Gideon, you say, where is he? Where is he?
The next time when a man of God is coming and say, anointing. Ooh, anointing. And then all the one that is mesmerized.
Then you be a Gideon, say, what is that? What is that? What is that? What's the use of that?
You will refuse any cajol because you are looking for fire. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost fell, people cried. People said, what shall we do to be saved? People went and brought their charms publicly. Harlots were confessing, come and see the man who have told me all that I have done. Now that they say,
no. If you are a Gideon, you say, what is that? We are not interested.
You know, one of the reasons why revival tarries was because there were people who quenched hunger for reality in the heart of young people. Who told them there's nothing to expect? Who told them that this is how the ministry is now? Who told them that you don't need to look for anything better? So they settled for empty noise. They settled for useless activity. Gideon said, no. Where is the evidence of God's presence? Why the Midianites are still oppressing us on this campus? Nowhere. Do you know that some of you are yet to respond to something the Holy Ghost is bringing up in your spirit? How can we have 60 different fellowships on a campus and yet when the foolish court boys are ready, they hold everybody to ransom? Why do we have fellowship in every classroom and sinners continue to be sinners? And lecturers are not afraid to still be selling results.
Why? This kind of religion is a religion that quenches genuine hunger for reality. And somebody in this meeting is saying, no more, I don't want that. I'm looking for reality. Is there somebody like that in this meeting?
Yeah.
All right. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. I said, which might? There was, and I was explaining the other time that what I thought was the might in the life of Gideon was its insatiable hunger and thirst to see God. It's not ready for explanation. It's not ready for excuses. It's looking for evidence. Evidence. Shout hallelujah, somebody there. Not excuses, not explanation, but what? Evidence. Evidence. He said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, that's not the question. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. So let me ask you a question before I go on. Was Gideon a man? Huh? Was he an angel? Was he different from who you are? Was he a last born like some of us? If God used Gideon, why not me? Do you know when Gideon stood up that day? I was excited about this brother because they were men. Do you know what he did? God told him, now, the first assignment is that the altar in your family compound, the altar of Baal that is in your father's compound, go and do what? Go and do what? Go and destroy it. For you to know that he was an ordinary man like myself. He couldn't call a family meeting to say, as the head of this family, I want us to destroy this altar. Could he do that? Why couldn't he do it? He was the last born. He was a nobody. But he knew that the beginning of revival, what we upturn and overrun the Midianites, is as he will upturn and burn down and break the altar of Baal in his own family compound, in his own house. He needed to do something about it. You know what he did? You know what he did? God has spoken to him since morning. They were saying, won't you go and sleep? He said, not yet. Will you not sleep? Are you going to read tonight? He said, I'm not ready to sleep yet. There's something I need to do before I sleep. So he waited to see that everybody, all the senior persons, have gone to sleep. I saw how he tiptoed in front of his father's room. He noticed that his father was snoring. He said, good. He went to his senior brother's house. He noticed that that one was sleeping. He went to this other side. He went to that other side. He was moving quietly in the night. Say, oh God, I am not confident to do it in the morning. I want to do it in the night. Do you mind if I destroy it in the night? So that when they wake up in the morning, at least it will have been destroyed before anybody can talk. God said, all I need is for it to be destroyed. Don't know whether time or no time. That's not my business. Oh, God. So he had spoken with some of the servants in the house and said, we are going to do something this evening. Don't sleep. When it's time, I will wake you up. I said, okay. So when it was about 12 midnight, when everybody was asleep, Gideon said, oh yeah, come. He was going to the family shrine. They started pulling bar. As they pulled, the thing fell. They broke it. They broke the altar. They scattered it. They scattered everything. He made sure everything finished before 4 a.m. Then he also went into his room. He opened his door. When he entered, he did as if he was sleeping. Do you think he slept that night? Do you know what he was waiting for? He was waiting for the first noise, because he knew that there was going to be noise. Did he pray throughout that night? Did he pray that night? He was praying and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, anybody who want to talk about Baal, Lord, silence his mouth. Cause confusion in their midst. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking. Do something, Lord. Something has to change in this family. We cannot continue to serve the God of Baal. Useless God that cannot help anybody. Oh God. By 6 a.m., the first person that woke up to go and urinate saw the whole thing scattered. He was afraid to talk. He quickly went inside. I'm telling you, the reason why the devil is bold is because you are fearful. When you put on your boldness to obey God, it will be the devil's turn to do what? To fear and to run. The other person went and said, I don't know what is happening. He went inside. So when the senior elder woke up, what's happening here? Bah! And the altar has been scattered. Who did it? Gideon came out as if he did not know. He came out. But one of the 10 boys that he used said, well, may I go talk? Yesterday night, after everybody slept, Gideon told us that God appeared to him. That the greatest problem to this family, why the Midianites are destroying all of us, is because of this thing. And he said we should try to destroy it and see whether Baal will do anything. When we shook the first thing, he did not talk. When we removed the nest and nothing happened. When he did it, so he told us, he said, let's shake it. When we shook it, nothing happened. In fact, me, I was thinking that I would have died, but I never died. Then the whole clan came together. Bring out that your boy now. We will kill him here. Gideon was here. His father said, did you say there is someone who destroyed the altar of Baal? And Baal was watching. When somebody destroyed his altar and he did not kill him, if Baal is God, let him deal with him now. Glory to God.
Can I ask you, for how many years was the author of Baal in that compound? How many years? Before Gideon was born. And it would have been there until today if there was no Gideon to rise. There are many things happening in your family. There are many things happening around you. There are many things happening in your room simply because you kept quiet. Do you know that from that day, they changed Gideon's name? What did they call him? Jerubah. What's the meaning of Jerubah? The destroyer of Baal. So as he was passing, they said, that's Jerubah. That's the man that destroyed Baal. Let's see what Baal will do to him. He was eating, he ate pounded yam, he ate aku, he ate rice, he ate beans, no problem. Ah! Jerubah. So as he was coming, they said, Jerubah. 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 You know, that was his first nickname. Hallelujah! So when he blew a trumpet and said, God has said the Midianites will be finished. He was the youngest in the family. He was from the weakest clan. Did you realize that the whole place, they followed him? Eh? What makes a leader is not age. What makes a leader is not your muscle. It's whether you are responding to what God is saying in your heart. Gideon, a young boy, he changed the story. I love Gideon. He was a mere man like us. By the time he blew the trumpet, and God said, these 32,000, they are too many, they are not serious, and they remain 300. He was afraid. So you know what is touching me is that it's not that these people were never afraid. Are you hearing me? They were afraid. He was afraid. And God said, Gideon, I have delivered the Midianites to your hand, but in case you are still afraid, come, take your assistant, go. So they went in the night to listen. What is the English word for what they were doing? When somebody is trying to listen to your discussion without wanting you to know that he's around, what is he doing? He was eavesdropping. They were men. They were not angels. So he went. Then he had one telling a dream. And as soon as he heard that dream, that one said, well, there's nothing. This is the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. God has raised a man called Gideon. Do you know that the way the Midianites were talking about Gideon, they would have imagined that he was a very big, old, ancient man. I hope you know. Only when they saw Gideon, that he was an ordinary young man, they said, are you Gideon? Are you Gideon? Are you the man we have been hearing about? Are you the man that caused confusion? Are you the man that we have been afraid about? I'm asking a question. Who is going to be our next Gideon in this generation? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May the Lord kindle that fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Go away from that. Return to our Hebrews. He said, and of Barak. Barak. I say, who is Barak? Some of you will not know Barak. Barak, his story appeared in the book of Judges, chapter 4 and chapter 5. Do you remember? When Deborah, do you remember Deborah? Eh? That prophetess? The Bible said, the whole highway was deserted. The way of holiness, the way of righteousness, deserted. People went their own way. There was confusion everywhere. Then the Bible said, then arose Deborah, a mother in Israel. Do you remember the story of Deborah? And there are some sisters here whom God is giving a serious Deborah's anointing. They are concerned and they are very meticulous and they are spending their heart and say, God, I am on this campus for 4 years. I don't want to live here until I see revival. And you see, as Deborah began to pray, God began to do something. So Deborah sent for Barak. Barak was a very timid young man. And Deborah said, Barak, it's your turn now to go to battle. If you don't go, God will still deliver these Philistines into our hands. But the glory will be given to women. How can you be alive, a young man, and a woman that are doing things? Barak said, but I cannot go except you go with me. Deborah said, no problem. We will support you. But come and go. Was Barak an angel? Eh? If he was an angel, would he have been so afraid? What, a man like me? And Barak got ready. Keep praying, I'm going. Keep praying, I'm going. How I wish on your campus, some of you, you will just get the sisters. And say, sisters, it's not a matter of making pepper soup now. What some of you are interested in sisters for now, those that come, they cook soup for you, they bring it and say, Rakunle, I brought fried yam for you and fried plantain. So three of you are fighting over one sister. Is that why you are on the campus? Eh? You are going up and down in front of female hostess. What are you doing there? Eh? If you plan to be great, what are you doing there? And those guests, they know how to cause problem for you. They will tell you long story of how yesterday I felt lonely. I just felt as if the world is going to come to an end. I would just say, God, if you are God, let me just see Brother Kunle's face. Do you know what that guy is planning to make you? He's planning to make you a useless, a nameless non-entity. Resist it in the name of Jesus. But if you have sisters like Deborah, who says, go, I will give myself no rest until you finish that message. We are trusting God on this campus that something will happen. And the next time you went knocking on their door, They did not even open for you. They were still praying. They were saying, oh God, no. Lord, Brother Barak is standing there. We ask you, give him utterance. Make it sharp. Do something. Pierce the puncture the heart of the people. Save the souls in the name of Jesus. Those are the kind of sisters that we are looking for. Deborahs. Who will turn the campus? Do you know that this morning I believe that your campus is a small place? God will turn it around in the name of Jesus. When God handed over a hood and all this big oppressor with the hand of Barak, I say, wow! Ordinary man like Barak, God used him. They were men. We have talked about Samson, so we don't need to talk about Samson again. Isn't it? Let's not talk about Samson now. But look at Jephthah. Who knows something peculiar about Jephthah? Do you know something that is very striking about Jephthah? Do you know something? And I know that some of you, you are like Jephthah. And you are allowing the family problem to make you useless. I want to inform you this morning, the way you were born, where you were born, who born you, is not as important as who you became. You are not young. Eh? I said, the way you were born, where you were born, who born you, is not an issue. You are already born. You are not with me. The problem with Jephthah was that he was born when his father went and slept with an harlot. And that girl became pregnant. And because in Israel, if you go and sleep with a woman that is not married to you, who is a harlot, if they discover it, both you and that woman must be stoned to death. So the father of Jephthah pretended as if he was not the one. The mother was pregnant. They say, who is the man? He tried, she said, where is this man? When they went to him, he said, this girl said you are the one. He said, me? Where did you ever see me? Let's prove it. Let's go for blood tests. There was no sophisticated equipment in those days to confirm whether the DNA tallies, nothing like that. And so, this man went and married another wife and settled. When Jephthah grew up and asked his mother, excuse me, mama, who is my father? Do you know that there are some young people that, sincerely speaking, the person that you are claiming to be your father actually was not your father? And there was an embarrassment one day when you went home and some of your junior brothers whom you thought were from the same parent with you.
I say, no, you bastard.
You say, me, I'm a bastard?
He say, who born you here? Our father is just trying to help you. Who born you here? Go and look for your mother.
That thing disturbed you. You went and asked your mother, excuse me, this man that I've been bearing his name for years, there's an argument in the family that I was not his child. Mama, tell me the truth.
Then your mother said, well,
did they say that? I wonder why they are saying that kind of thing. He said, Mama, tell me the truth. He said, well, you know, things happen. He said, what happened? Said, well, you know, when I was in secondary school, I was in Form 3. We went for an evening party. And three boys slept with me that night. Unfortunately, I became pregnant. Unfortunately. And as she's emphasizing unfortunately, it's as if he's saying, you are an unfortunate child. Unfortunately, I couldn't pinpoint any of the three. I went to this one, he pushed me away. I went to this one, I said, how can you prove it? I went to that one, I did it. So that's how I tried to abort you, but it was impossible. So when you were born, I was in the house. In fact, that's why I didn't go forward to read degree. You know, I ended with NCE. It was that problem.